and I talk the same language when it comes to kidney issues. I got my blood work back this time. They take it every month. And then in the four and a half years, I've been in renal failure and have gone through what I've gone through. My blood work was the best that it's ever been in 4.5 years. Amazing when you lose 80 pounds what it does to that. It really is. But I appreciate that. Now, if I can get this boot off, I will be in a good mood again. Everybody wants me in a good mood, don't you?
Yeah. They usually are.
But anyway, of all the issues that we have to deal with in life, we have to understand that life in general is really not fair. Really, it's not. And the older you get, you find out it's not as fair. Because the older you get, you got issues. But getting older is a privilege. So don't complain. Be thankful that you made it this far. Like the old saying goes, though, if I'd known I was going to make it this far, I might have took better care of myself back at the time. But hey, it's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late to lose the weight. Never too late to do what you need to do to get your health in order. So that's just a little tidbit I throw out there to the internet world and everyone else. Don't ever take your health for granted. You're the Lord handle a bottle. Going through the Gospel of John, and we're not doing it verse by verse, but more subject by subject. Last week, Jesus dealt with this man called Nicodemus. You remember that, don't you? Nicodemus was a very smart man, and he posed a lot of questions to Jesus. Jesus would turn around and try to put questions back to him. They had a very good conversation. Nicodemus didn't understand it all, because Nicodemus was thinking more in the flesh. Jesus was talking more in the spirit. Now, we do know that later on, Nicodemus did believe in Jesus. But at that moment, Nicodemus is trying to take it all in. Chapter 4, now we're going to deal with where Jesus is dealing with a very religious, Jewish leader, educated, smart, highly thought of. Now, he's going to take a journey, Jesus is. And on this journey, he's going to meet another person. Now, what I love about looking at these Gospels is how Jesus deals with people. Jesus knows his audience. Now, an audience can be one person. It can be hundreds of people. But he knows his audience. So whether it's male, female, old, young, don't make any difference. When he is before that person or that group of people, he deals with the subject matter the best that he can. Sweetie, it's okay. I won't preach very long about it. Honey, it's okay. It's okay. She's a good little girl. No, he's a sweetheart. Now, understand again, Jesus what? Knows his what? Say it with me. Audience. Keep this in mind. Alright, here we go. The life of Jesus is seen through the Gospel of John. John, 4th chapter. Now, we're not going to get through this whole story, because it would take too long. It's 50-something verses. But we're going to get introduced to it. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now, the Pharisees are always trying. You got John the Baptist preaching, baptizing, Jesus preaching, baptizing, his disciples preaching, baptizing. We got a lot of groups going on, but the Pharisees love to get one group against the other. So how they do that is, hey, did you know John the Baptist guys are baptizing more than you guys? They must be better at it than you. Satan is the best at putting together a subject called jealousy. Satan loves it. Jesus don't have any time for this nonsense. So he decides it's time for me to just remove myself from the situation, and I'm going to head north. Now, you got Jerusalem here. You got Galilee here. In between is an area called Samaria. And we're going to introduce you to this area and introduce it to you. Alright, here we go. And he must needs pass through Samaria. So he cometh to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. It says, and he must needs pass through Samaria. Now, any time that I go to Atlanta, Georgia, how many of you have been to Atlanta, Georgia? How many of you take the bypass around Atlanta? How many of you go right straight through town?
I did too.
Yeah. A lot of times I go right straight through. The bypass is literally 50 miles to get around the city. Now, if you're going to go through Atlanta at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, I might suggest you take the bypass. But if you go right straight through Atlanta, it literally takes 40 or 50 miles off of your trip if you're going to Florida. I learned this in any town going down there. So a lot of times, I just go right straight through town. Now, most of the time, because the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. From back in the Old Testament days, there was a lot of intermarriage that went on between these two groups of people, and the Jewish people hated them. And what they would do is they would walk hundreds of miles to get around Samaria so they wouldn't have to see these people on the way to Galilee. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to walk right straight through. Because Jesus is not into color, gender, age. He's into your heart. So he's just going to walk right straight through Samaria. A Jew now. But Jesus looks at people different. You understand that? He looks at people different. He loves everybody. He don't care the race. He don't care what it is. He loves everybody. Plus, he knows that he's going to run across an individual that needs to listen to him. Let's see if they can get introduced to this individual. So they're coming to a city of Samaria called Sychar, and the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Let's call this the rest stop. If you're on the interstate, sometimes, thank God, we come across the rest stop. Get something to drink, use the restroom, or whatever the case may be. This is sort of like the rest stop between Jerusalem and Galilee. Big well there, well known. He stops there. Okay? That's where the water's at. With me so far? Say amen. Alright. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being weary from his journey, he was thirsty, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Jewish time begins at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sixth hour would be what? Noon. Heat of the day. Hot. He's walked. He's thirsty. He comes to this well. You get the picture? Alright, Larry, here we go. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. It's interesting. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that Jesus was just sort of like, hey, woman, serve me. No, that's not the Jesus way. He saw that she had the buckets and stuff and said, hey, can I have a drink of water? Nothing sarcastic, nothing mean, not that I'm man, you're woman, I'm over you type thing, okay? So let's make sure we understand. Sometimes the way the King James words something, sometimes it looks as if he's sort of curt. He just said, hey, can I have a drink of water? Okay? There you go. For his disciples was gone away into the city to buy food. Now, look what she does. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, how is it you being a Jew asketh drink of me, being I'm a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Everyday language. You're asking me for a drink of water. You are asking me for a drink of water. You people won't even spit on us. You want me to get you a drink of water? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Are you nuts? What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Okay? I mean, really, she was caught off guard. Because most of the time, they wouldn't even speak to these people. Hated them. Get the picture? Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. Jesus answered and said unto her, if, big if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence hast thou this living water? He said, ma'am, if you knew who he was talking to, here's what you would ask of me. Give me some living water. In other words, life changing. Okay? See the picture? Alright? She don't know who she's talking to just yet, but he's going to introduce himself to her, okay? And the woman said, no, wait a minute. I may not be the smartest person on the planet here, but now this is a waiter. You get to bring your own bucket. You ain't got nothing to drink with. You ain't got nothing to put the water with in. What do you mean, living water? How do you expect to get a drink? What do you mean by living water? That's a good question. She wouldn't be smart. She's not stupid. But she said, what do you mean? Sort of goes back to this thing with Nicodemus. When he said, you must be born again. He's like, what, you want me to go back in my mother's womb and come back out again? You know? Again, he wasn't trying to be smart. He's just trying to understand what he's saying. Okay, this woman's trying to figure out, because Lord knows, if she can figure out a way not to come to this well every day, woo! Okay? All right, Larry. Thou art greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his son and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, everyone that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Look here. Been drinking this all morning. Still drinking it. All right? Still thirsty. An hour from now, we'll be thirsty again. Tomorrow I'm going to be thirsty again. You can't live without this stuff. Lord knows you can live without food. I've tried doing that. But you gotta have liquid. You gotta have, this is very important stuff. Right?
Yes, sir.
But no matter how much of this I drink, I will be thirsty again. Right?
Amen.
That's a good question. That's a good question. He says, everyone that drinketh. Now she says, and I like the way she says this in verse 12. Wait a minute, are you smarter than Jacob? What are you trying to tell me? Everybody for the last thousands of years has been coming this well, and now you're saying I don't have to come to well? What, are you smarter than everybody else? You know something everybody else don't know? And again, not trying to be smart, Ellie, just trying to understand, okay? Jesus says, everyone that drinks of this water shall thirst again. All right, Larry, finish up. But, big but here too. But, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Now, the woman says, sir, with respect, okay, sir, give me this water, but I thirst not. Neither come all the way hither to draw. She said, okay, I'll sign up for it. I don't like coming here. It's a long walk. It's probably, she may have had to walk a mile, 2 miles to get to this well. Okay? He said, I'm on board. If I don't have to come back here no more, give me this water. Now, that's not what Jesus is talking about. But again, take it with this mind. It's understandable. It's understandable. She said, okay, you're talking about water that I'll never have to come back here no more. Let me see it. Let me drink from it. What are you talking about? Now, this just goes on, and we'll pick this up after Easter. But this gets into a very in-depth conversation between this man and this woman. You don't call him a name, the Samaritan woman. There's a reason. It's because we are minded constantly of who Jesus is dealing with here. And who is he dealing with? He's dealing with somebody that the Jews hated. Number one, he don't hate her. He's taking time. He sends his disciples away to get food. Jesus knows what he's doing. More than likely, this lady would not, let me take it a little deeper, more likely this lady would not approach this well with all of these men. But I'm going to tell you why. We're going to find out she didn't have much luck with men. Okay? We're going to find out how many men she's been married to. She ain't married to the one she's with. This is coming. Jesus is going to just basically tell everything that's about with her. This woman don't even like men. But let me tell you something. If you'd have been through what this woman's been through, you may not like them either. Because women were dirt during the days of Jesus. They really were. They were a piece of property, basically. I mean, if a man was tired of you, whatever, he just kicked you to the curb. It was just, women had hardly no rights whatsoever. And especially a mixed breed woman. Because she's hated from both sides. And here comes a man who's going to take the time to talk to her with no agenda whatsoever but to change her life. And this lady ain't never come across nobody like this. This woman has been used, abused, and has just been through the mill. All she's doing is existing. All she's doing is surviving. And one day, she meets Jesus. Get this? One day, she's made this journey 1,000 times, and more likely, she was sent there by the nut she was living with to get his water. So he didn't have to do that. I mean, she's wore out, wore down, but this particular day, her life is going to change because she's going to meet Jesus. Jesus is the greatest friend that a woman's ever had. Let me tell you, especially at this time in history when they didn't have hardly any rights whatsoever. Jesus didn't make any difference whether he was in front of a woman, in front of a man, in front of a child, in front of a Jew, from a Gentile, from a Samaritan, the difference who he was in front of. He would give you time. He even took time, and it's relative to this time of year, he even took time to deal with a tax collector. Lord mercy! He dealt with the IRS. Wow! The most hated group of people on the planet. Especially right now. And yet, he deals. He loves them all, if they're willing to listen. But I just want you to see something as we get deeper into this all the time. None of this stuff's by accident. Jesus had a plan. He knew he was going to Galilee. He knew he was going to go through Samaria. And he knew that there would be a lady that he needed to talk to.
So he planned the route, planned the time, because noontime would be probably not the best time to go to this well. Most people are there early in the morning or late at night, because it's what? Cooler. Okay? Nobody comes. The reason she comes in the heat of the day is because she don't want to run into nobody. She just wants to be there by herself because she's been kicked, hollered at, fussed at, and abused all of her life. And so she don't want to be around nobody. So she comes at a time when she thinks nobody would be there, but somebody was there. It's called Jesus. At times when we don't expect Jesus, he's always there. Don't make no difference. Day, night, 12 noon, 12 midnight. Every opportunity that you need Jesus, he is there. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Understand this. As we get more and more into this, he's going to tell her so many things that when she leaves there, she's going to run back to town, the town she hates, to the people she hated, and actually going to tell them, you need to go out to the well. There's somebody out there. Let me tell you something. You've got to get to go out and see this guy. He told me everything about my past, knew me, and everything. Even went and told the men, told the women. And a lot of them would go out there. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they had their own little revival. And it started with a woman that they couldn't stand. A woman of sin. A woman who had a past. A woman, again, who had been defeated in life. Started a revival. Because she met Jesus. It don't take one person to get on fire, and you'd be surprised what can happen. Now this is all coming as we get into the story. But I'm telling you, it's the neatest thing. The neatest thing. And then after this, a leader of the military hears about Jesus, who's got a son who's dying, and goes to Jesus and tells Jesus his son is dying. Will he come by and at least lay hands on him? Because he heard Jesus could do this. 20 miles away, 30 miles away. Jesus didn't have to touch nobody. Finally, he just said, just go on back home. It's all right. Jesus didn't have to lay hands on him. Didn't have to be in his hands. It don't make any difference, folks, whether Jesus is right in front of you, behind you, beside you, 30 miles from you. He is in your presence at all times. Isn't that great? That's coming down the road too. There's just so much stuff when you look into the Gospel of John, of what's happening and what's going on. It's a good study because Jesus deals with people. He deals with you. He deals with me. And when I say he deals with us, I mean he takes time for us. Because he loves us. He loves us. And whenever we call upon him, he is there. No matter what you're dealing with. No matter what's going on in your life. He will never, ever leave you helpless, hopeless, in any way, shape, or form. Give the Lord one more hand. Let's stand. Michael begins to play. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Father, what a privilege to be in your house today. Father, we've heard God's word today. Father, may we take it to heart. Here's a woman who's just going about her day, defeated in life, and meets Jesus. she'll never be the same. Father, we have so many people today that need to meet Jesus. Need Jesus. And yet, Father, they think of every excuse, think of every reason not to. But Father, the clock is running and time is running. And Father, I pray for anyone that is lost or within the sound of my voice. If you're watching my internet today and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be in church to accept Him. You can bow right where you're at. You can bow your head and just confess to Jesus your sin and ask Him to come into your life, and He will change your life forever. Then you go find you a good church home, and you go tell the preacher you've accepted Jesus Christ and find you a home where you can go and worship. But Jesus is coming. We need God's people ready. Father, we thank You for all that You do. And again, as always, Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, as every head continues to be bowed, every eye closed, would You come in the name.